thanks again for Linode for sponsoring this episode of the news. They've actually upped our affiliate link. So instead of getting 1 month of credit, you now get $60 of credit, which you can make last up to 3 months, I think. It's $60 or 60 days, so 2 months, I guess, of credit. So if you use our affiliate link, you can get a little bit more credit and experiment with things. They really want you to mess with that Kubernetes cluster and some of the other services like their Amazon S3 substitute, which is quite competent. You should definitely give that a spin. They've also been writing a lot of how-tos. So like setting up the WireGuard thing, which I think we can improve on. And we will soon improve on because WireGuard. They've got a lot more services today than they did previously. You should really check it out. And in fact, if you're going to do a commercial migration to like Kubernetes from Google Compute Cloud or even some of the Azure Compute services and you're using Kubernetes, come to the Level 1 forum. I'll actually help you do that. So thank you, Linode, and on with the news.
Hi, chat. Today is August 18th, 2020, the year that never ends, and today we're doing government and social news.
It'll end. I'm just afraid that when it ends, the problems will not. You know that whole that feeling that you get for a millisecond on New Year's Day, where it's like, oh, it's a new beginning. It's not just an arbitrary calendar thing that we've imposed on ourselves that means nothing. I really can't start over. We won't even get that this year. Not even the millisecond.
Yeah, I mean... I don't, 2020, my memories of 2020 are already super messed up. Like, there's just no, I don't know.
It's going to be crazy that, like, kids being born right after this, we're going to be old telling stories about it.
Like 9/11 is now.
I didn't go to a movie theater for 6 months.
What's a movie theater? We all just stream everything directly into our brains.
Let's start. Oh, you know what, Krista? I think it's important we get this out of the way, because if the answer is what I think it is, this will be 2 weeks, or is it three, that you've done nothing for that pumpkin.
The pumpkin's still dangling. It's still dangling over the side of my porch.
You just don't care, do you?
No.
I care, but I don't know how to fix it at this point. Like, I'm
just
afraid
get an old T-shirt.
And just nail it up.
And just sling him up there?
Yeah. You don't even have to nail it. Get some string or something.
I was hammocking outside earlier, and the pumpkin was just swaying in the breeze, and I was like, oh, that's not good.
Apply your hammocking knowledge to construct some sort of primitive hammock-like thing for the...
Have you not seen those GIFs where they'll take a string and like tie it into a circle and then fold it in such a way and put it under a pot or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's so many solutions, Krista.
I just need to implement one.
Yeah, you need to do something.
Just pretend it's a watermelon hammock, and that'll guide you home.
Oh, yeah.
He's good size now. Like, he's definitely bigger than a softball. Not as big as, like, a soccer ball.
Well, while you do nothing because you don't care, a man who cares deeply about the American people is doing something. And that something is winning.
Cities lose lawsuit against the FCC's 5G rules. The FCC has told cities and municipalities and areas and states that aren't even really fully incorporated, hey, these providers, 5G, we need a lot of 5G towers, and we need to cut through the red tape. They're going to put them wherever they want, and there's not much you can do about it. City sued and lost.
I think in some cases, there were some cities that were like, we're not sure about this 5G stuff. But I think in some cases, the cities were like, we're going to make a lot of money here, aren't we? And so, in some cases, it's probably for the best that they can't just, you know, soak money that will never go back to the people. But on the other hand, if you're an anti-5G person, this probably is pretty scary, right?
I don't think there's a legitimate technological reason to be anti-5G, but...
To be fair, I bet the world is just a scary place if you're anti-5G. And I gotta say one thing, one positive about 2020 is I am only as exposed as I choose to be to the national election. It's easier to avoid than ever. Are you drinking coffee from a solo cup?
Milk, actually.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, there's something
just
wrong.
Straight milk.
Something seems wrong about drinking coffee from a red solo cup. Anyway.
It's getting wild. Drinking milk on stream.
I had some Oreos earlier.
You will not see the you know, the protests and the outrage and all that stuff from the national conventions this year, because there ain't going to be any.
Biden and Trump set to receive nominations in historic virtual DNC and RNC. The thing has forced the parties to rethink their national conventions. Yeah.
So they're kind of, this is one of those stories where they really are talking about it as if it were, you know, a game show or something, or a sporting event. But they're like, oh, who's going to have the better online presentation? Oh, what if it's a Zoom meeting and someone Zoom bombs it? That'll be embarrassing. Nothing about the content of their characters or their policies, as usual.
That's horrifying. It's like, do we want Pat Sajak or Alex Trebek leading the country?
That's not a contest. isn't Trebek like on the death's doorstep?
Yeah.
I'd still take him. He's Canadian. Yeah. Put him in there anyway.
He's so polite.
So you can't get your, you know, election information from the usual means. You're not being bombarded with it as much. I don't know. Maybe you're watching network television. I don't know what's wrong with you if you are. But you want to be informed, right? Well, you have one fewer place to be informed because YouTube is basically saying, we have a narrative and you won't be disagreeing with that.
YouTube bans videos containing hacked information that could interfere with the election. Google on video site will also take down content that encourages meddling in the voting process. On the surface, I don't necessarily disagree with this, but as I was reading this, the only thing I could think about was like, what about like Snowden? Like Snowden's WikiLeaks. Revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff like that. And it's like, it doesn't matter if it's true, we're just going to block it.
Or the international cables, remember those?
Those are kind of a bombshell that no one reported on.
Hillary's emails, a lot of people believe that turned that election. And they're saying, no, we will not have that this time around.
I don't know if this is a company taking an ethical position or if it's just like they've already taken their position and they're going to make sure that there's no content that's contradictory with that. Because one of those is scary and the other one is not as scary.
No, I think it's like a lot of the laws in this country, it will be applied the way they see fit. Mm. It's a blanket, but you only cover up the parts that you don't like.
Yeah.
So.
Neat.
Also, they might know something. They might know that there's like something big coming or whatever. Like somebody's biding their time.
Well, are you subbed on Float Plane? Because I don't think Linus is going to block us.
You don't know that.
If he does, we will go straight to Canada and protest him.
just camped out
outside of his LMG office
in like a tent in the parking lot.
I'll be in a hammock, but
oh, we're gonna tie up a hammock in an asphalt parking lot.
I'll take a stand.
They're not gonna let that on the plane, Krista.
No.
So one of the more fun things that's happened recently. Is that the government is all of a sudden like, yeah, maybe we got some UFO footage. I don't know. I don't know what we got. We don't know what it is.
One of our leaders literally said, I hope it's extraterrestrials and not a foreign intelligence.
Yeah, so, and that's, I think that's the first time they've always sort of just like no commented their way through this kind of stuff, but now they're like, oh, yeah, your guess is as good as ours. Go watch the footage. And it seems like some of the people in power were kind of as in the dark as we were, and all of a sudden are concerned.
The Pentagon creates a UFO task force to see if aerial objects pose threat. I hope they recruit Thunderfoot for that, because he's pretty sure that at least some of the UFO footage is of a duck. And that's probably not untrue.
I'm so frustrated by this, because it's like, this is probably the least likely scenario for the season finale, but we have like a pandemic. Why aren't we putting resources toward that? Like,
what if we can use the alien DNA to strengthen our immune systems?
Yeah. I
mean, oh, yeah.
What if they just roll up and they're like, you guys are on the precipice of, you know, what you call the great filter. We're going to help you get through that because there's not enough sentient life in the galaxy. It's like, all right, sounds good.
I don't know. I think based on Asimov, that wouldn't work in the long run.
No, it would end absolutely horribly. But is it any worse than the current dystopia?
Yeah, I think wiping out species would be. I mean, what are we at, like 1.5%? That's a big difference. TikTok. Big week in the TikTok soap opera. We had a lot of things happen. So first, let's talk about Trump. And now, when we talked about this executive order, was it last week? It was last week.
Yeah.
I remember when we were reading it, I was like, well, wow, that doesn't mention anything by name. Couldn't that be just about anything? And it seems like, yeah, that's what they meant.
CNBC has the headline, Pompeo says that Trump's executive orders are broader than just TikTok and WeChat, hinting at more action. But this story is incredibly frustrating. It's written in such a way that it makes it sound like Mike Pompeo is going to elaborate on exactly what he means. And then there's another paragraph of information, but they never actually elaborate on what they mean.
And they won't.
For like four paragraphs.
They won't tell you. Because they're keeping it open because, you know, they want it to... If a Chinese company angers them or they need more ammunition politically, just pile them on.
This seems really dumb.
Another shrimp on the Barbie, as they say. And Trump basically just, you know, confirmed all of that.
Trump is looking at pressuring other Chinese companies after ByteDance.
The big A.
Yeah, what we need in 2020 is a big old trade war. Oh, yeah, Alibaba. Because a lot of people are getting hip to the Alibaba and AliExpress and all of their various sub-companies and... You can import stuff from AliExpress, and sometimes it's junk, but sometimes it's actually pretty good stuff.
Not knowing is part of the fun.
Wish.com, where you wish you ordered, you got what you ordered.
So, yeah, he's basically just throwing names out there and saying, I'll do what I want. And China will just have to live with it. Another thing that Trump did this week that is, I feel this is pure... election propaganda.
Yes, that is exactly what I got from it too.
If he goes through with it, I guess it's still probably a good thing. Now, some people disagree. Some people think this guy is the worst of the worst. But I don't buy, because didn't Trump say he was treasonous?
Yeah, he should literally be killed. Well, actually, the tweet I think said he should literally be killed unless he's got dirt on Obama, in which case I might like the guy.
So, yeah, I think wow. This is... definitely just having to do with the election.
Reuters is reporting that Trump says that he is considering a pardon for leaker Edward Snowden. And, yeah, I mean, read this, take this with a grain of salt, but I think this is just election time pandering. The prosecutor, it's worth noting, Snowden saw this and tweeted, he's right, the prosecutor that originally charged him said, on balance, he's probably done more good letting the people know about this, because... He did blow the whistle on stuff that was actually illegal and unconstitutional. Let's not forget that. But
which technically we shouldn't be talking about.
Yeah.
Because we're on YouTube. Think about that.
This was hacked information.
So
OMG.
Now, are the previous hacks grandfathered in there? Are those just fresh hacks?
I don't even think YouTube knows at this point. I mean, I don't green word, yellow word. I don't know. Does anybody even know? Like, they're not even babysitting the algorithm at this point. They're just like, meh.
Remember Clearview? They're that nasty company that goes out to social media and scrapes all of your information and then sells it to everybody who wants it, including despotic governments and federal agencies. People are waking up to Clearview. And they're saying, wait a minute, we shouldn't, this is bad. We don't want this. We got to stop this. And the social media companies are like, yeah, you got to stop it. This is our data. You can't take this data. And I saw it and said, yeah, yeah, we want that.
We'll take that.
I just signed a contract with facial recognition company Clearview. The contract comes after months of scrutiny in Clearview's privacy policies. Remember the guy that was falsely arrested in Michigan? How awesome is it going to be when you're falsely deported? It's like, I grew up in rural Montana. Why are you sending me to Ecuador? I don't know anything about it. I don't even know the language. Why are you sending... It's like, oh, it's a likely story, sir.
Although, pro illegal immigrant tip, don't get on social media. We have I probably should have put this in security, but I saw FBI and NSA and my mind just sorted it here.
That's fine.
We have a new kind of malware... And you know that it's the sophistication and severity of the malware. You know that it's serious when it's about Linux.
Yeah.
Because they have to work a lot harder. And you know that the systems they're going after are ones that actually matter.
Yeah.
They're not looking for your feet pics. They're going for some serious information.
The FBI and the NSA exposed a new Linux malware, Drovorub,
used by Drovorub, I think is Drovorub.
Okay, used by Russian state hackers. The FBI and the NSA issued a joint security alert. You should read this if you have to babysit Linux computers on the internet. Basically, you should be using Linux kernel 3.7 or newer only because it's got kernel signing for modules. It's a kernel-level rootkit. There's a couple of different infection vectors that they employ. But once they're in there, they're in there.
What is this a map of? Is this supposed to be the U.S.?
That's Russia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's Russia.
This is Fancy Bear. Remember Fancy Bear?
Apt28 and all those people. GRU.
So, definitely the Russian government, or so our government says. We'll see. It seems pretty impressive. It's like a rootkit, several other things, and they can do basically what they want. But it only affects some older stuff, so. As is all the security articles, updates. Remember when Homeland Security announced, they were like, yep, we're searching everybody. We're taking your phones, we're doing everything. And then years went by and they did that. And then a court was like, you probably shouldn't have done that. That's probably a bad thing. Well, they supposedly have stopped doing it. And yet, now I think this, the caveat here is they're always going to ask you. And if you say yes, then they can use this stuff.
Homeland Security details new tools for extracting device data at U.S. borders. The agency says it can now obtain details including your phone's location history, social media information, photos, and videos. Basically everything on your phone. Everything that we've ever said. They're like, yeah.
Bullet list.
Yeah.
It's long.
It's the shorter bullet list is literally everything.
I like your task list. My grocery list.
Oh, and they're going to retain it for 75 years.
Are you really going to buy this many paper towels? Don't you know there's a limit of two?
So, stocking up on toilet paper, I see.
I would say you should refuse that, but if you refuse that, it's just going to get worse, probably.
Yeah.
So maybe just don't travel to the U.S.
Or take a phone that doesn't have any information on it.
Remember Blue Leak? Oh, my God. We're not allowed to talk about Blue Leak.
No.
What a terrible... This is it for us. How can we do this show? Well, it happened. I'm hoping we're grandfathered in because it happened before. And we learned some interesting things about it, but, you know, people are still going through it and we're learning more and more. One of the interesting things we learned about it was a certain Hot Topic company and how they interact with our government.
Here's something reported by The Intercept. The leaked documents reveal what TikTok shares with authorities in the U.S. And I thought this was going to be like some juicy, controversial thing. It's not. It's basically exactly the same stuff that Google and Apple and Microsoft to share with the authorities. It's basically exactly the same. Indistinguishably the same.
And a much smaller scale. Just less people on TikTok.
Well, less law enforcement requests.
No, that's what I mean. Like, less instances of it. But it does go to show you that, you know, it's interesting because our entire argument with TikTok is you're sharing information with the Chinese government. But they are also sharing information with U.S. law enforcement.
The question for me would be, is all of the information that they're giving law enforcement all of the information that they have? And it seems like if that's the answer is yes, then what are we doing?
Spying?
Well, no, I mean, not like the reasons that it's like we're worried about the security and privacy of our people. That's not a real reason.
No, it's a trade war. It's political, of course. I think everybody knows that.
I will not see my technology subverted for political purposes. This is unacceptable.
And you already are seeing.
Yeah, you literally will only see that
in real time.
So the boogeyman is China. We've pivoted. It's China and Russia. It has been for at least a year or two. But remember back. Remember the simpler times when it was just the Middle Eastern terrorists. When that was our only worry. Well, it turns out, I guess they're still around and we're still fighting them and making some big wins. Although, in the grand scheme of things, this was some low stakes stuff to be bragging about.
The U.S. seized cryptocurrency from three terrorist groups, according to Bloomberg. So it was like, what, $3 or $4 million? It was like $2 million from one of them. And then
It was a total of three or four from ISIS, Hezbollah, and Al-Qaeda.
And it seemed to be that they were just using services like Coinbase, although it didn't come out and say that.
Well, they were trying to sell fake medical equipment.
Oh, okay.
Because of the pandemic. And they were trying to sell them to undercover agents.
Mm.
And then everything was just seized based on that. Bitcoin.
Yeah, Bitcoin, not super anonymous.
Not at all.
Not even remotely anonymous.
Pro-terrorist tip. Never check out Monero.
Well, that's a Bananation offense right there. Like, that's Exhibit A. It's like you're giving aid and comfort to the enemy. Is that how it's like? You could be designated an enemy combatant for that.
Well, we saw that TikTok is cooperating with our government at the same time as the Chinese government, if they are in fact cooperating with the Chinese government. But how about the fact that for a while, our companies also played both sides of the fence?
CNET reports Google has stopped responding to data requests from Hong Kong authorities. I've got an alternate headline for you. Google stopped responding once they realized that the list they were getting were basically whose organs were going to be harvested.
The list had a column for blood type, and Google was like,
Wait a minute, what are you doing? What? No, this is really, things are really kind of dire in Hong Kong. I think that if it weren't for the pandemic, I would be surprised that if the U and Brexit, I would be surprised if the UK didn't take more action and sort of drag the US into that in a good way.
So they can still make these requests, but now it has to go through diplomatic chains through the US government. And you can imagine how quickly Chinese requests are dealt with in the US bureaucracy right now. So
yeah.
I guess good news for the people of Hong Kong. Good news for the kidneys of Hong Kong.
Yeah.
We have talked a lot about facial recognition and the smart city template and how they're just building all. You got the gunshot sensors and you got the, you know, the cameras and all that stuff. And sometimes they sell you features of a smart city and they say, oh, look how all the good things it's going to do. Oh, law enforcement? No, we would never. Never use it for that. And then some time goes by, maybe some money changes hands.
Yeah. Cops tap smart streetlights, sparking controversy in legislation. This is in San Diego. San Diego's sensor-laden streetlights were supposed to save money and inspire entrepreneurs. There's a lot of fascinating stuff in this article. This one's real well-written and worth a read. Each smart streetlight has 500 gigabytes of storage.
It's a terabyte.
Is it a terabyte?
It was a terabyte.
I thought it said it half a terabyte.
Oh, I mean, it did say half a terabyte. That's still a lot.
Either way.
There's two 1080p cameras, but the thing is completely autonomous. So it does all of its stuff locally. It's edge compute. I don't think this article author had ever seen that before. But the camera's doing all of its own stuff, and then it just reports back. It's like, hey, I saw 37 bicyclists and 50 cars today and blah, blah, blah. It only retains 5 days of video, and the video is only stored locally. It's not transmitted anywhere. Honestly, this implementation template seems like the sanest and most reasonable way to do this. Then there was a murder. And then the police were like, wow, that camera is like exactly where the murderer is. So they were able to get to the camera quick enough and pull the footage. And then there were some more murders. And then there were some more requests to pull the footage. And then they were like, oh, we need to build a framework for requesting things from law enforcement. And then there were some vandalisms. And it was like, wait a minute. Vandalisms? We're going to use the street cameras for vandalisms?
The best one? Illegal dumping. They went to the cameras for illegal dumping.
Well, they were illegal dumping the FBI building. Is that an act of protest, or was that just somebody that's really dumb? Bro, criminal tip, don't illegal dump the FBI building.
Listen, it was an empty parking lot.
So, yeah, I don't... It is a slippery slope, but this is exactly the slippery slope that we're always harping on this show.
It would be a tragedy, and I would never advocate it, because it would just be stupid on all accounts, and... unacceptable. I can't underline enough how unacceptable it would be if somebody watching in San Francisco were to pull one of those down,
San Diego,
pop it in a crate, ship it over our way so we can take that apart.
San Diego.
What'd I say?
San Francisco.
Oh, same thing.
Of course, don't do that. But if you do, our address is.
And across the pond, they also continue to struggle with the morals of facial recognition. When does it go too far? When can we use it? How about that 80% failure rate?
Police use of facial recognition violates human rights. A UK court has finally ruled. This seemed to be in the court system for quite a long time. Use of the tech needs to be narrower to confirm the human rights law, the court held. So there was one guy that went before the courts. Was like, I don't. This is encroaching on my rights. They don't track me everywhere.
Sporting event or something.
Yeah.
And found out later. He was like, I didn't give anybody permission for that. Yeah. And they did admit. I think what killed them here is they admitted that out of 2,800 requests, 2,300 were false.
Yeah.
Or matches. I mean, something like that. It was a ridiculous number. But this is kind of one of those court rulings that you often get where it was a little bit of a technicality.
Yeah.
They weren't rejecting it on the principle of the thing. It just wasn't, they didn't, you know, sign a document or something. So, I mean, it wasn't that simple, but they were just basically saying, yeah, you gotta put in a lot more legwork before we let you spy on people like this. We will let you, but you really have to do the paperwork.
And we need some kind of a reason. They looked menacing. Okay, sounds good.
And we have in our little spat with China, but China has a lot of conflicts going on. They've got a lot of fronts on their political wars, not the least of which is poor little Taiwan. Now, in Taiwan's defense, considering the David and Goliath situation that's going on, Taiwan is, it's balls of steel. They're just like standing in defiance. And China, as usual, when they can't have a hot war, they'll go cold.
Yeah. Chinese hackers have pillaged Taiwan's semiconductor industry. Operation Skeleton Key has stolen source code, SDKs, chip designs, and more. So this is an Ars Technica article about one security research firm that somehow got access to the place where the information from these companies was being stored. And it looks like China is trying to gather information from a bunch of different chip makers in case they have to start trying to produce microprocessors, silicon, basically, at a reasonably modern level internally. Not mentioned in the article, China just hired, like, this is not an illegal thing, but China, the Chinese industry for silicon development, hired over 100 engineers from TSMC. And most of them are making like 2.5 times the money that they were making previously. So they moved from, you know, they're moving from Taiwan to China. And those are the silicon wafer engineers, the smart people that would be able to use this information to bring up a Chinese industry on semiconductors.
Fringe benefits include full dental, full health.
All the kidneys you could ever use.
Exactly. Full organ backups. Eyes, liver, whatever.
I mean, it's kind of horrifying, but I mean, if you were in that position, like you're in Taiwan and it's like they're offering me 2.5 times the money to go to China and do this.
And they were there for a while. It's called Skeleton Key because they go in and in the domain controller, they give everybody a password on top of their existing password. So they can just go anywhere they want and you might never know because it doesn't disrupt your work at all. So they're just there. They're in your house, eating your Cheerios.
Looking at what you're doing.
Just what you're doing, but what all the American companies are doing.
That's the secret to extended UV lithography.
I bet it sucks. Because, you know, probably each team has different parts of the foundries to look at and different subsections and stuff like that. And in the, you know, the Chinese way, it's like the more advancements you bring back to the table, the more you progress. An AMD team is just killing it, and Intel team's over there like, oh, this is, we spent 6 months on this, and it doesn't work.
All the information on their computers was wrong. Do they know we're there? Are they feeding us bad information? Nothing they have works. I don't understand.
Maybe Intel's fall is just one big national security exercise. Just poisoning the well. Yawn?
No, maybe not.
I think there's an ooh sound in there. I never can remember. The chat will always correct us. Yuan? I think yuan is a very American way to say it. I think the emphasis is not on. Anyway, it's the Chinese currency, and they're doing some big things over there.
China sets a trial run for digital yuan, in top city hubs. Shanghai, Beijing, Guangzhou, and Hong Kong are added to the pilot program amid U.S. tensions. So this is just China's own homegrown digital currency. That's all it is. But it, the trial has gone well in the other places they've trialed it.
But China is no stranger to digital currency because, in fact, most of their transactions go through WeChat.
Yeah, or their digital phone or whatever. Remember when it was like they're doing the mask thing? It was like, are you green, yellow, or red? It's like green, okay, you
have access. I think WeChat does that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're full in on the digital stuff, but the government was like, oh, yeah, we don't control that enough. Let's get our own thing going here. And supposedly, I don't think this is built in yet, but you can just go to a bank and be like, here's my digitals, and they'll give you actual currency. For now.
Just like gold. It's like, you can always get gold out of the bank. No. No.
There's an auction. They actually had some of the old bills that was redeemable in gold. I thought about getting them, but they're too expensive.
There was a case recently where somebody did that for silver, and I think it went to the Supreme Court or the Federal Court or whatever, and they had to. It was like the early 2000s. And it was like, no, this is still redeemable.
Well, that's... Was it a dollar per ounce? Is that, I don't know what the...
Yeah.
It was 35 for gold.
Something. It was not market rates, but yeah.
I mean, you'd make a killing if you could convert $35 an ounce on gold. You know what? I got to say, privileged American here, head in the sand. I had no idea this was going on until I read this article. Pretty big thing. And I did not see it in a lot of news coverage. It was not talked about very much.
Yeah, there's a lot more to this story than just the technological aspect.
Well, yeah, when you read into it, it definitely seems like an election may have been stolen here. And as is the new playbook, when things get hot politically and you're in one of these, you know, smaller countries, you flip the switch.
Belarus has shut down the internet amid a controversial election. Human rights organizations have blamed the Belarusian government for widespread outages. The article does a lot more legwork to prove that it's not a denial of service or distributed denial of service attack than they have to. And there's a lot of really crazy news coming out of Belarus that's not the technological side of this, but good Lord. Even the police force, mostly, has been like, we don't know what's going on. Sorry.
How much more menacing are these stamped metal shields than our clear police shields?
Yeah, that looks like that could mess you up. Like, they could slice your throat with the edge of that.
I bet they sharpen them. It's monsters. So, yeah, when they were questioned, the powers that be were like, it's DDoS. That's DDoS. And they're like, well, from a technical standpoint, that doesn't make sense for these 50 reasons. And they're like, did we stutter? Russia, well, Belarus is not Russia, but
not yet.
I think there are some connections with this politician. And again, stupid Americans. I know exactly what I read in that article and like two other clicks about it. That's as deep as I went.
Engagement challenge?
If you're from there.
If you're from there, you're not watching the news because you don't have internet. I'm so sorry.
I don't know, though, because I've seen... Today, I was looking at Reddit, and I saw that there were, like, live streams of the protests happening there. So someone has internet. Has it back up now? Like,
I don't know. Well, let's say maybe you're an expat. I'm going to give you the five-paragraph waiver. Go ahead and five-paragraph us with that one if you need to explain. Don't go over 7. Under any circumstance, ever. But speaking of Russia and their part of the world, let's say, they are singing a tune that is very common at this point. They're kind of last in line here.
Reuters reports that a Russian watchdog said that Apple abused mobile app market dominance. Now, I fully expected this to be a dog and pony show where, you know, Russia is just looking for fines from Apple. But no, the story actually here is really interesting. So Kaspersky had a parental control app that would, you know, restrict screen time and what applications your kids could use and some other stuff like that. Well, Apple has added that functionality to iOS 12, I think. And then Apple wouldn't let Kaspersky update their app because they're like, oh, this functionality is already in the application. You don't need to use this because Apple, you know, privacy and security and all the other stuff. But on the face of it, Kaspersky had an app that did those functions, and now they're not allowed to update their app.
Sounds familiar.
Sounds arbitrary.
Sounds like the same story that we did about the email and the games and all the other ones.
So on the surface of it, what Russia is saying here with their regulators and stuff is not unreasonable. Not an unreasonable conclusion that Apple is sort of acting disingenuously. Because look at Windows. Windows, like the whole, like we're going to bundle browsers with it, and then eventually by law it's like, no, we have to give people the choice. We have to give people the choice of Kaspersky's kid control thing or Apple's.
Good timing, though, because as we will see tomorrow in the business section, the whole walled garden is... let's say the Mongols might be approaching. It's in some trouble. Moving on to social media. Now, when it comes to TikTok, like we've talked about, they're very vilified by the American government. And actually, you know, a lot of the around-the-world governments, everybody is mad at them. And every week we see another reason to be mad at them. It's almost always boils down to politics. But you got to keep coming up with new stuff, right? You throw the dart at the dartboard. And this week it's landed on too popular with children.
The New York Times is saying that a third of TikTok's U.S. users may be 14 or under, raising safety questions. Three current and former employees expressed concerns about the Chinese-owned app's safeguards for preteen children. Well, you know, if you're under 14, there's a lot of laws here.
They check that box.
So clearly they're okay, right? You just check the box.
Exactly. Children would never lie.
Never.
To be part of something that all their friends are part of. Now, here's the scariest part about this. They went to them and they're like, are you just basing this on user-reported age? And they're like, well, no. And it's like, well, how would you possibly know that? I mean, that's how would you know their age? And they're like, we have a lot of metrics. So facial recognition on your profile picture, obviously your TikToking habits and various other clicks and things like that. And I think even like the whole phone, like other stuff on your phone spying stuff, they have so many ways to figure out how old you are. Now, by law, the whole thing, it's like, well, we didn't know they were young, seems to be betrayed by the fact that they have some really great metrics about how old they are.
I wonder how their algorithm, like what age their algorithm would guess a brony is.
Well, they're not going to have a profile picture. Throw that off. What'd you say, Krista?
I said, I bet you could throw that off pretty easily. Like, if you started looking at some weird trends, but a 14-year-old probably won't think about that.
If 14-year-old Krista wants to dodge TikTok's age recognition, what do you do?
Look at gardening stuff. 14-year-olds don't seem to think that's very cool.
Would you look up, like, food dehydrator content?
Yeah, and they're like, oh, that woman is at least 30 years old.
30? I might go a little higher than that. Listen, I'm all about the... I've had that same dehydrator that you said that you got on my Amazon shopping list for months. I just never pulled the trigger.
My husband bought it for me, and like we've used it probably... Like, we've had it for maybe 2 weeks. We used it like 4 or 5 times already.
But I think all of them, the ones in my shopping list, I had actually a couple in there because I couldn't decide. They're all sold out right now. I think that's a hot item for the lockdown.
Yeah, it's nice. Well, because we got all this produce lying around. And so it's like, oh, I don't want to use this right now. So we'll dehydrate it and use it later. Great. Mm. We're making jerky today, chat. I don't know if we mentioned that previously.
Yeah, I think you...
meat.
I think you did a wrong choice just doing basic jerky. But I'm a little bit racist against regular jerky.
Well, it came with a spice pack, and we wanted to use it, so we'll see if it turns out good. It smells
common
good.
Street jerky. Why even bother?
Disgusting.
TikTok has some other woes as well here in the U.S. because the whole Trump thing. Well, no one knows exactly how far it goes. It's so broad, but if you take it for its word, then... You're not allowed to do any business transactions with TikTok, but TikTok has American employees.
TikTok's U.S. employees plan to sue Trump administration over executive order. The employees say the order would ban TikTok from paying them. Oh, no. Whoops.
Is giving them health insurance a transaction?
Yeah.
What if one of them gets hit by a car?
The IRS definitely thinks that that is a transaction. Well, now if they're hit by a car, it's up to the insurance company, so that wouldn't be a TikTok transaction. But for, you know, the IRS, the whole like, oh, that's a benefit, that's a taxable benefit, definitely a transaction for tax purposes. But if they didn't
pay the premium that month.
Oh, that would be bad. Although most insurance companies don't care if somebody else pays the premium, you just have to know that they didn't pay the premium.
Well, I'm assuming the employee wouldn't know that they stopped.
Oh, no. Sorry, TikTok employees.
I mean, by the time that got out of court, you'd be dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. And just to pile on a little bit more, I have a feeling that most of the big tech companies did this as long as they thought they could get away with it. But hey, it's dogpile on TikTok time, so let's dogpile.
TikTok collected Android user data using a tactic banned by Google. Oh, the practice ended in November, testing shows. Android has failed us. The whole premise of Android was to not... This thing, kind of thing should not have been possible in the first place.
It was the MAC address of the phone and using that to
all
track
of them.
You.
Bluetooth, Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and try to figure out who else you were on other things. You know, all that stuff that we finally stopped them from doing after they did it for decades. And when we catch the big tech companies doing something and we chastise them, often they will sheepishly say, you know what, we shouldn't have done that. We're sorry and we're going to stop. But then the final step in that sequence would be to stop doing the thing.
They never do
like
that.
Like actually stop.
But they don't.
And they're like, yeah, just don't do that. Don't stop.
Instagram wasn't removing photos and direct messages from its servers. So there's a guy that deleted a bunch of stuff years ago, and then the GDPR thing happened, and he's like, hey, I can request my data. So he requested his data. And all the stuff that he deleted years and years ago was in there. And Instagram was like, whoops, we fixed the glitch. Now, the glitch they fixed is that it doesn't let him get that data now.
It respects the flag on the query that gives you the data, not the delete. That will not be done.
Yeah.
So now you got to try to find another angle at that API to prove it again. That guy got a bug bounty, but it was only $6,000. Although $6,000 when half the country's unemployed.
Yeah.
Can't sneeze at that.
That's food money for 6 months, assuming you don't have to pay the rent because you're about to get evicted.
That's a big if.
Hey, listen. Sleeping on the street? Like really stretching your budget? That's more than 6 months.
It's kind of funny here because all of the... it's getting really dicey because like the really metro areas are like, no, we have to evict everybody. And all the more rural areas are like, no, we're not. Let's just... That seems like too much headache. We're not going to do that.
Was it Portland or Seattle where a mob formed outside of the really nice apartments where the Amazon workers lived? And they were just... they were basically just screaming at them like, you need to give us your houses. I used to live here. So I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think that's fair, but if you experience that, you might be looking at some rural property a couple of states over.
Yeah.
And speaking of rural property, Facebook made an interesting purchase. They purchased a nice little beachside villa, and it was only $500,000, which... seems crazy. Only. Like, why would Facebook purchase this weird house in the middle of nowhere? Sure, it's a nice beach, but, I mean, Zuckerberg could just buy the ocean if he wanted to. He doesn't need to worry about a beachside villa. Why would he want it?
Facebook abandons broken drilling equipment under Oregon coast seafloor. Now, abandon is it turns out, is this is a clickbait. They didn't really abandon it. It is abandoned for now, but they have said that they're going to be back. What they're doing is they're drilling the ocean floor to run fiber optic cables. How cool would that be? You have the house that just in the basement is like, what's this? It's like, oh, yeah, it's a fiber optic line to China.
So they failed. Turns out there was a big rock down there.
Yeah, it was unusually hard.
Now, they were trying to... So they set up this little... I think they have a picture of it here. This is what became of the... How would you like to be this house?
Just that low murmur. Just yeah.
So what they drilled down and out. So they didn't want to actually get to the water till like way out into the ocean where the cable would meet. And then I guess they would have like a little, you know, base station here. But they couldn't get out there. They broke the drill bit And so now
it's just a wedge down there.
It's just down there, and they're like, we got other things to worry about. Let's just leave that there.
And also thousands of pounds of cutting fluid.
Which I suppose is sealed inside the drill, but how long does it take salt water to
erode
tap
that?
Into that?
They may not have hit salt water yet.
Oh, that's right. There might not be any water in there all right.
Yeah.
So
somebody's going to discover that in 100 years and be like, what was going on with this house?
Now,
if they abandon it entirely.
You know, pro criminal tip, if you happen to live in this community or in within walking distance of it and you're addicted to methamphetamine, just imagine the scrap that's just waiting for you inside that blue wall right there. So much.
Could be yours.
And nobody's watching it.
I'm pretty sure this is exactly the kind of thing Facebook was talking about. I mean, YouTube was talking about in their new policies.
That's not a leak.
It's a cutting fluid leak.
Everybody. Well. And finally, we have some information about Facebook, and they've released their, what is it, quarterly? They put out the...
Yeah.
It's like, here's what we deleted. Here's what we censored this, you know, quarter or whatever amount of time it is. And we have a new kind of category to be censored on Facebook.
Facebook removed 7 million posts in the second quarter for false information about the thing that we are under. 7 million posts. Good Lord. Today is definitely Mispronunciation Monday.
That was not as many as most of the other sections, although terrorism was down quite a bit.
They're all locked down, you know. They can't go out.
Yeah, 22 million hate speech, 9.6 million of hate groups, and several other. Organized hate, just 4 million.
If we were better at society, we could turn all of the energy that people are expending for this thing towards something actually good for society.
Let's look back in history. And let's try to select a 10-year window when that ever happened.
I think it would have to be when the population of the Earth was so low that there was just...
No, it was Cave A spreading vicious rumors about Cave B. It's nothing but loose women over there in Cave B.
Those Cro-Magnons. We have to kill the Neanderthals.
Sarah has been back down at the Neanderthal cave. That's the fourth time this week.
We're going to have to kill
them. She's letting all of her saber-tooth skins just rot away because she can't keep herself away from the Neanderthal camp, that hussy.
All right. That's enough of that. That's enough news for today.
Krista, I think the only goodbye that we can possibly get today is a mea culpa goodbye for what you're letting happen to that pumpkin.
Goodbye.
I felt that.
Yeah. I was very sorry.